hello and welcome to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW. This show is going to take you on an unforgettable adventure through the silver screen. I'm your guide, Austin Reed. Join me as we delve deep into the realms of Hollywood's finest creations and hidden gems along the way. Movies have the power to transport us to incredible worlds, evoke a wide range of emotions, and ignite our imaginations like nothing else. They capture our hearts, challenge our minds, and provide us with a much-needed escape from the ordinary. Flick Fix is here to celebrate the magic of cinema, to honor the art of storytelling, and to light up a passionate flame within each and every one of you. So grab your popcorn, dim the lights, and get ready to immerse yourself in a world of lights, camera, and action. Hello, and welcome back to Flick Fix. I'm really glad you're here. And as always, thank you for spending some of your time with me. On this episode, I've got a lineup that covers a pretty wide range of territory. First up is Hoppers, the Pixar comedy that drops us into a story about animal communication, environmental danger, and the sort of chaos that erupts when humans start interfering with nature in ways they probably shouldn't. And then there's Project Hail Mary, a science fiction adventure about a man waking up alone on a spaceship with no memory of who he is or how he got there, only to slowly piece together the reality that he may be carrying the weight of all humanity on his shoulders. And later on, I'll be diving into tonight's Spotlight Review, 1957's A Face in the Crowd, a film that starts with the rise of one very magnetic voice and turns into something much bigger and much sharper than that. It's a movie about celebrities, media, manipulation, and the dangerous ease of charm that can become power. Even decades later, it still feels pointed, uncomfortable, and a little too aware of how quickly an image can overtake substance. So stay with me, because there's a lot to unpack here. Hoppers is an animated science fiction comedy film produced by Pixar Animation Studios for Walt Disney Pictures. Directed by Daniel Chong and written by Jesse Andrews from a story by Chong and Andrews, the film features the voices of Piper Curda, Kathy Najimy, and Dave Franco. The story follows Mabel Tanaka, an animal lover whose mind is transferred into a lifelike robotic beaver so she can communicate with animals and help save their habitat from human destruction. Naturally, things get a little out of hand, and in the process, she accidentally sparks something much bigger than she intended. Oh, you hear it all the time whenever Pixar releases something new. Pixar isn't what it used to be. Or, Pixar hasn't made a great movie since, insert whatever year people are nostalgic for, blah blah blah. And honestly, I think that argument gets thrown around way too easily. Deep down, we know it's not really true. Over the last 10 years, Pixar has delivered some genuinely strong movies. Sure, many of them have been sequels, prequels, or spin-offs, but every so often, they still give us an original idea. This year, that movie is Hoppers. And I really do hope people go out and support it, because this thing is a blast. What makes Hoppers work so well is that it never feels like it's trying too hard to prove itself. It's not overly complicated, it's not desperate to be the next all-time Pixar masterpiece, and it doesn't need to be. It's simply a very entertaining movie packed with laughs, a lot of heart, and enough clever ideas to keep things moving for its 104-minute runtime. No, it may not put you in a jaw-dropping new world on the level of Pixar's most legendary classics, but it absolutely taps into that old familiar Pixar charm in a way that feels refreshing. There's a warmth to it, a weirdness to it, and an emotional sincerity that reminded me why these movies can still be such a good time. It also does a nice job balancing its appeal for both kids and adults. Younger viewers will get the fast-paced comedy, the animal antics, and the colorful energy, while older audiences will probably appreciate the wit, the performances, and the bigger themes working underneath it all. The movie lands on some pretty effective messaging about the environment, teamwork, and the importance of respecting the world around us without ever feeling too heavy-handed. It's meaningful, but still playful, which is a hard balance to pull off, and I think Hoppers handles it well. Another big reason the movie works is the voice cast. Everyone sounds like they're having a genuinely good time, and that energy carries through the whole film. The performances are lively, funny, and full of personality, and that really helps the movie keep its momentum. There's an infectious spirit to the whole thing, like the cast understood exactly what kind of movie they were making and just ran with it. What I also found interesting is that the movie takes a few turns I wasn't entirely expecting. I won't spoil any of them, of course, but there are moments where Hoppers gets a little stranger than I thought it would. At times, it almost dips its toes into some gateway David Cronenberg territory. Not full on, but, you know, enough to make you go, whoa, okay, the movie's going there. And I love that. That said, there are definitely a few scenes that might be a bit intense or unsettling for the young kids. But then again, aren't a lot of the most memorable family movies the ones that leave you just a tiny bit traumatized? I know I can name a few from my own childhood without even thinking too hard about it. In the end, Hoppers doesn't try to reinvent animation, and that actually works in its favor. What it does instead is combine humor, heart, imagination, and just enough oddball creativity to make for a genuinely enjoyable ride. It's funny, it has something to say, and it proves that Pixar can still make original movies that are worth showing up for. So for everyone who keeps saying Pixar only does sequels now, well, here you go. Here's an original. Go see it, support it, and help it make some money so studios can keep taking chances on movies like this. That's my pitch anyways. I'm giving Hoppers an 8 out of 10. Project Hail Mary is a science fiction adventure film produced and directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, and written by Drew Goddard, based on the 2021 novel by Andy Weir. It stars Ryan Gosling, who also produced the film alongside Weir, as well as Sandra Hüller, James Ortiz, and Lionel Boyce. The film follows science teacher Ryland Grace, who wakes up alone on a spaceship light years away from Earth with no memory of how he got there. As his memory slowly returns, he uncovers a mission to stop a mysterious substance that is killing the sun and threatening life on Earth. Along the way, an unexpected friendship becomes one of the most important parts of the story. A lot of the time, when I look up people behind a movie, it is usually the directors that get me excited. I'll see a name I recognize, remember something else they made that I loved, and instantly start getting hyped. That easily could have been the case here too, because I do like the previous work of the film's directors. But this time, I got pre-delighted in a different way. What really got me excited was the author of the book this movie was based on. This is the same author who wrote The Martian, a film that I absolutely loved. So the idea of getting another movie with a different story, but a somewhat familiar spirit, was immediately appealing to me. It gave me that same feeling of being excited for smart, funny, emotional sci-fi again. And after finally seeing it, I can say this without hesitation. Project Hail Mary, as of right now, is my favorite movie of 2026. Yes, this is the one to beat. I do not know if I am just a sucker for this cast, or if I'm especially weak for this kind of movie, but I was completely enthralled by it for pretty much the entire runtime. It has such a rich blend of adventure, humor, suspense, and emotion that it turns into the kind of film I know I am not going to forget anytime soon. This is the kind of big sci-fi story that still knows how to feel personal, and that balance worked on me the whole way through. Ryan Gosling is, of course, the star of the show, and he is a huge reason why this movie works so well. I have always liked his sense of humor, and once again, he brings that charm here in a way that keeps the movie light when it needs to be. But he also leans into the character's insecurities, fears, and flaws, which keeps him from feeling too polished or untouchable. That is what makes this character such a likable person. He is funny, capable, awkward, vulnerable, and very easy to root for. Gosling makes all of that feel natural. Now, again, I am not trying to spoil too much, because this is one of those movies that I really want people to experience for themselves. But there is a friendship that forms here, and let me tell you, it leads to some of the cutest, funniest, and most heartstring-pulling moments this film has to offer. I really do not want to say much more than that, because discovering it is part of the joy. But trust me, you will absolutely know what I am talking about when you see it. And this better inspire some Halloween costumes. But like I said before, and I really want to restate it, despite this film being over 2.5 hours long, I was constantly engaged. That is rare. This is one of those unusual cases where I genuinely did not want the movie to end. I wanted to stay inside this world longer. I wanted more time with these characters, more time with the story, and more time just soaking in everything the film was doing. Usually with longer movies, there is a stretch where I start to feel the runtime, but that never happened to me here. A big reason for that is how well the movie is put together. The chemistry between the characters is strong, the emotional beats land, and the slightly non-linear storytelling creates some really great contrast and juxtaposition without ever becoming confusing or distracting. It helps reveal things at just the right time and keeps the momentum going. On top of that, the shots of space are just beautiful. There's a real sense of scale and wonder to this movie, but it also knows when to slow down and let the quieter moments breathe. I loved a lot about this film. Sure, there may be a lot of scientific what-ifs and questions people can raise, and I am sure some viewers will get hung up on that. But honestly, I just put that aside. I was so invested in the story, the emotion, the humor, and the relationships that I was more than willing to go along with it. When a film is this engaging, I can forgive a lot. Project Hail Mary is exciting, funny, warm, visually impressive, and emotionally satisfying in a way that really snuck up on me. It delivers spectacle, suspense, humor, and heart in a way that feels big without losing the personal side of the story. Project Hail Mary is an easy 9 out of 10 for me. Go see this in theaters. I promise it's worth it. Coming up after the break, it's my spotlight review of A Face in the Crowd. And to give you a sense of how this movie was sold back in 1957, the tagline read this: "Power. He loved it. He took it raw in big gulpfuls. He liked the taste, the way it mixed with the bourbon and the sin in his blood." Ooh. For a film that old, it still feels surprisingly sharp. We'll talk about Andy Griffith, the rise of Lonesome Rhodes, and why this story about media, influence, and manufactured power still lands with an uncomfortable amount of force. Stay tuned. You are listening to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW. When you hear the title, A Face in the Crowd, it sounds like one of those older prestige dramas you're supposed to admire from a respectable distance. But the actual setup is much juicier than that. This is a film about a drifter named Larry Lonesome Rhodes, a fast-talking, larger-than-life guy who gets discovered in an Arkansas jail by radio producer Marcia Jeffries. What begins as a local media curiosity turns into something much bigger, as Rhodes rises from obscurity into a powerful public figure with influence over audiences, advertisers, and eventually even politics. That premise alone is enough to make you lean in, because it already hints at how quickly fame can snowball once the right person gets placed in front of a microphone, and later a camera. And for a movie made in 1957, that is a pretty strong hook. It has the bones of a rise-to-power story, but it's rooted in radio, television, sponsorship, and image-making, which gives it a very specific identity right from the start. So before I get into my full thoughts on the film itself, let's talk about where this thing came from. Oh, moderate spoilers ahead. Let's start the music and begin. A Face in the Crowd was directed by Elia Kazan and written by Bud Schulberg, based on Schulberg's short story, Your Arkansas Traveler, from his 1953 collection, Some Faces in the Crowd. It also marked the second major collaboration between Kazan and Schulberg after On the Waterfront, which already gives it a strong creative pedigree going in. What makes this film's development especially interesting is how much real-world research went into it. Kazan and Schulberg developed the screenplay during the summer of 1955, and they did extensive research into both Madison Avenue advertising firms and New York television stations. Kazan later recalled that they were allowed into ad agency meetings where they observed product discussions, sponsor strategy, and sales language firsthand, and that research directly informed the film's sponsor-driven media world, including the Vitajex material. Kazan later said that nearly everything in the picture had a real-world example behind it, which tells you this was not just built from guesswork or broad satire. They were paying close attention to how television, sponsorship, advertising, and image-making actually worked in mid-century America, then feeding those details directly into the screenplay. Andy Griffith plays Lonesome Rhodes, and this was his feature film debut. Patricia Neal plays Martha Jeffries, with Walter Matthau and Anthony Franciosa in major supporting roles. And Lee Remick also made her feature film debut here as well. On top of that, the film includes appearances by contemporary media figures like Walter Winchell and Mike Wallace playing themselves. Production began in August 1956 and continued into mid-November. Location shooting took place in Pickett, Arkansas, in and around Memphis, Tennessee, and in New York. The Arkansas material was especially important to the production, and local residents were used as extras in Pickett. That gives the early small-town portions of the film a real sense of place, because they were not just being faked entirely on a backlot. The working title of this film was The Arkansas Traveler, which ties directly back to Schulberg's source story. The film was also re-edited after a sneak preview in New Jersey shortly before its premiere. So even though the finished movie feels very confident, it still went through that classic last-minute reshaping process before being released to the public. As for the release itself, the film had its New York premiere on May 28, 1957, followed by a Los Angeles opening the next day, before its wider release in June of that year. The movie also was not a major hit when it first came out. Its initial reception was mixed, and it did not land as a runaway success with either audiences or critics. Over time, though, its reputation grew considerably, and much later, in 2008, A Face in the Crowd was selected for preservation in the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. So that is the setup going in. A 1957 film directed by Elia Kazan, written by Bud Schulberg from his own short story, developed through extensive research into advertising and television. Now, with all that background in mind, let's get into how the movie actually played for me. The first thing I have to say is just how incredibly impressed I was by Andy Griffith. I knew the name, of course, and I knew the cultural image attached to him, but I was not prepared for this performance. From the moment he shows up as Lonesome Rhodes, he absolutely owns the screen. The charisma is immediate. He is funny, magnetic, unpredictable, and larger than life in a way that makes it completely believable that people inside the movie would become obsessed with him almost on sight. There are some performances where you understand intellectually why a character becomes famous, and then there are performances where you feel it happening in real time. This is one of those. Griffith does not just play charisma here, he radiates it. And that is what makes the movie work, because if Lonesome Rhodes were not so entertaining, so charming, so alive, the rest of the film would not hit as hard. And this movie lets you enjoy that magnetism, because it really starts showing you the cost of it. The rise of Lonesome Rhodes is honestly thrilling to watch at first. You can understand the appeal. He feels spontaneous in a world of polished phonies. He feels raw, funny, and authentic. He has that quality of someone who looks like he is saying exactly what everyone else is too scared or too manufactured to say. And the movie is smart enough not to rush past that. It wants you to understand how a person like this can become irresistible once a microphone gets put in front of him. But that's also where the movie gets disturbing, because the same qualities that make him exciting also make him dangerous. His charm begins to curdle. His spontaneity starts to feel like volatility. His confidence becomes arrogance. And the more power he gets, the more the film reveals that what looked like authenticity may actually be appetite. Appetite for attention, for control and domination. That rise is one of the most compelling things about the whole movie, because it is never just a simple success story or a simple downfall. It is both seductive and sickening at the same time. You are watching somebody become bigger and bigger, and part of what makes it unsettling is that the film understands how fun that could look from the outside. That is also why the movie feels so prophetic. And I do not mean in some vague, wow, this still holds up kind of way. I mean it in the sense that this movie seems to understand with eerie clarity how media can take a personality and turn it into power. Not just popularity, power. It understands that once a person becomes a successful image, they stop being just an entertainer. They become useful. Useful to networks, sponsors, and people who want access to an audience, and useful to political figures who recognize influence when they see it. That idea runs throughout the entire film, and watching it now, it is hard not to sit there thinking, wow, they really saw this coming. This movie understands television not as a neutral piece of technology, but as a machine that takes charisma, repetition, access, and familiarity and turns them into authority. The more people see someone, the more they feel like they know them. The more they feel like they know them, the more they trust them. And the more they trust them, the more easily entertainment starts blurring into persuasion. A face in the crowd gets that. It understands that television can flatten the line between performance and sincerity, and once that line disappears, somebody like Lonesome Rhodes can become far more than just a celebrity. He can become a force. And that is what I found so fascinating about the film. It's not just about one guy, it's about the people around him. It's about the people who build him, the people who excuse him and profit off of him. This movie is not saying that media creates evil out of nowhere, but it is absolutely saying that media can amplify the worst traits in a person if those traits are profitable enough. That is such a sharp idea, and the film just never loses sight of it. So for me, A Face in the Crowd ended up being far more than just an interesting classic I was checking off a list. It felt energized, funny, uncomfortable, and at times, shockingly modern. Andy Griffith is the engine that makes it all go, because without that performance, the movie would not nearly be as powerful. But once the film gets rolling, what really stays with you is the way it watches fame turn into influence, and influence turn into something much harder to control. It is one thing to watch an older film and admire it as a time capsule, but it's another thing entirely to watch one and realize it's still relevant. The old cars, the old microphones, the old television sets, those belong to another world. But the hunger for influence, the manufacturing of public image, and the way entertainment can quietly turn into authority, that part never went away. And that is what makes this movie more than just a great old film. It makes it a warning that got here early. That's gonna do it for this episode of Flick Fix. Thanks so much for being here and spending part of your day with me. I always appreciate you tuning in and letting me ramble about movies for a while. Tonight, we ventured into the animated sci-fi world of Hoppers, took on the cosmic mystery and survival story of Project Hail Mary, and then spent some time with A Face in the Crowd, a film that still has plenty to say all these years later. That's one of my favorite things about doing this show. Every episode gets to jump between different genres, different tones, different decades, and sometimes even completely different ideas of what a movie can be. And somehow, it all ends up in the same place here. So whether something I talked about tonight ends up on your watch list, or whether you completely disagree with me and are mentally preparing your rebuttal already, I'm just glad you came along for the ride. And if you enjoy what you hear on KXRW, you can support the station by heading to kxrw.fm and clicking on Donate. Every donation helps keep KXRW on air for you guys. Thanks again, and you've been listening to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW. And I'll talk to you again soon.